as I was sitting listening to the prayer request this morning, I was once again moved by the love this group has for each other and the care that this group has for each other. And thank you, Bonnie, so much for sharing what you shared. And it is in that faith that you walk. You have said you don't know where you belong, how you belong. Just know that the faith in the walk that you have with the Lord Jesus, and this goes for all of us as we're walking with the Lord, that touches my heart tremendously, and it encourages me in my walk. And watching all of you walking with your Savior encourages me to walk with my Savior more and more. So amongst the many purposes that God has in your life and God has in all of our lives, that faithfulness to Him is tremendous. And for me especially, in my walk with my Savior, we lift each other up. We hold each other close. And that's what being part of the family is all about. And that's what being walking with our Lord is all about, is loving each other, loving our Lord first of all, and then loving each other and encouraging each other. And as I was coming near to the end of my study in Colossians, that's what Paul's talking to the Colossians about. He's talking to them and saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And then he goes on to say, richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through songs and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing to God with gratitude in your heart. Our walk with the Savior should be reflected in our walk amongst each other as we walk in love with each other. Last week, I wanted to compare what Paul is saying here when he talks about let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, with what Jesus was saying in John chapter 14, and I fear that I botched it terribly. So I want to take a moment and look back for a little bit at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is full of Jesus talking about the peace that can come through Him. It starts out, John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, my Father's house, boy, I learned this all in King James, and it's really hard for me to read it in NIV, because the King James words keep on coming out. But my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. And if I read that correctly, and I believe that I am, Jesus is saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. You will be where I am. And this, I believe, is what Jesus is talking about when he later in that verse says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. The peace is the knowledge of who we are in Him. That peace is the knowledge that through faith we have received redemption. We have become part of His family. That through faith He has promised us an eternity with Him in heaven. Through faith we know that the work of Christ dying on the cross for us has made us new creations, that God is with us. He goes on to say in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Because of what Christ did, we have the ability to walk with the God of all creation. We have the ability to know that we will spend eternity with the Father in peace, in love, walking with him face to face. If that doesn't bring us peace, I don't know what can. It's that peace of having the relationship with the God of all creation, the God who spoke and the worlds came into being. It's also the God who we rebelled against and created an enmity with because of our sin. But the God who wasn't satisfied with that enmity existing and sent his Son to be our advocate, to be the one to whom that peace could be restored. That he took on our sins, that he became sin for us, that he who knew no sin, that we might be born again, that we might have that relationship with him forever. And this is what I believe Jesus was saying when he was talking about, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. It's that promise that we will not walk alone, that we don't walk alone, but that we walk in a love relationship with him, a relationship that he wanted with us from the very beginning, that was lost through sin, but restored through his sacrifice. So when Paul is talking to the Colossians about what our life looks like in our relationship with God, and I think the book of Colossians paints such a vivid picture of what our life should look like in Christ. He talks about Christ in us is the hope of glory. And then he goes on to talk about now as having that relationship, having that sin removed, having that Christ in us, now this is what your life should look like. Set your minds on things above, not on things of earth. Which brings me to where I wanted to go today with our conclusion of our study in Colossians. Paul talks about, in the beginning, about who the Colossians are in Christ. They are his saints, his holy ones. Then he talks about who Christ is, that he is God. He and the Father are one. And then he talks about what it looks like for us to be in him. Then he goes on to talk about setting our minds on things above, putting those things of earth behind us, putting them to death, and putting on, as we would put on a set of clothes, the love of Christ, to walk with Christ, that relationship in who he is. And then he goes on to say, now, this is what it will look like. He said, put to death the things that are on earth and put on the things that are of him. And then he lines out a few things that we've talked about in the past. Then he moves on to what the family unit should look like. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1, he says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly master in everything, and do not do it only when eyes are on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. In this portion of scripture, I think Paul is laying out for us, okay, this is what your lives should look like as you walk with Christ and put to death these things, put on these things. Now this is what your family should look like. This is what your household should look like. And Larry used to say, we're reading somebody else's mail. Paul wrote this letter to the church of Colossae. And so, different time, different era, different circumstances happening, different culture. And so there are some things within this structure of the family that are different because of the culture that was going on at that time. For instance, we no longer have slaves, and we're grateful for that. But in this period of time, there was slavery. And in the Roman era, as Rome conquered new lands, they would bring back slaves from that land to serve the Romans. And so, as we look at this, we know that there was slavery going on. And so Paul addressed what it should look like if you did own slaves. And it's interesting to me, Paul doesn't say to the slave owners, free your slaves, but he does tell them how they should react with their slaves, how they should relate with their slaves. And that relationship that they have with their slaves should be a relationship of love. A relationship where it goes beyond the fact of master to slave, but as brotherhood. And it doesn't specifically talk that much about it here, but at the same time Paul was writing this letter, and at the same time this letter was being delivered, there was another letter that was delivered to the Church of Colossae, to a specific person in the Church of Colossae. And I've talked a little bit about this in the past. The Church of Colossae, from what we can extrapolate from Scripture, was the church that met in the house of Philemon. Philemon was most likely a well-to-do homeowner who had his church going on in his house. He did own a slave by the name of Onesimus. And I want to talk a little bit about Philemon as I conclude my study in Colossians, because I think these two books go hand in hand, and I think that the relationship that Philemon had with Onesimus is important to look at, because Paul addresses Philemon in this. And I think that's also why he addresses the church of Colossae, because that church in Colossae met in the home of Philemon. Nobody in that church would not have known what was going on with Philemon and his slave Onesimus. So I want to turn real quickly and look at the book of Philemon. So if you will turn with me to that. Philemon is one of the shortest books in the New Testament. It consists of just 25 verses in one chapter. And as we start looking at it, we hear Paul addressing Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker,
also to Afia, our sister in Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Now, let me set a little bit of a background on this church that met in Philemon's home. It's well believed from most biblical scholars that Philemon, when Paul is addressing him, he also addresses and greets Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And it's often believed that Apphia was Philemon's wife, and Archippus was Philemon's son. Because when he addresses Philemon, this is a letter written, and it sounds like my sound has gone off. Can everybody still hear me? Okay. All right. So when Paul is addressing Philemon in this personal letter to one person, he also talks about Apphia and Archippus. So it's believed that Apphia is his wife and Archippus was his son. And why I went down that rabbit trail, I have no idea, because it has nothing to do with the rest of what I wanted to say. But as Paul addresses him, he says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ." And it's this next couple of verses that I really want to key in on, because Paul then talks about the character of Philemon. He says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." I only hope that someday it could be said of me that my love for God's people has refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. And I think that as a body of believers, that's what we should be to each other. That's what we should be as we're living our lives in Christ, as we're walking our walk with Christ. It should be a testament of who Christ in us, so that we might be refreshing the heart of the Lord's people. Now, Paul wrote this letter to Philemon to say, "This slave of yours, Onesimus, is here with me in Rome as I am in my house arrest, under my house arrest. And he has been here and serving me." Now, let's step back a little bit and talk, and I've talked about this a little bit before, about the church of Colossae was started most likely because, and I'm sorry, I just forgot his name. His name just went out of my mind. But because of one man going to Ephesus and hearing Paul's ministry. Before this time, Paul had spent about 2 years, 2 to 3 years, in Ephesus, ministering to the people of Asia Minor. Asia Minor is now what Turkey is. Colossae is also in Asia Minor, to the southeast of Ephesus. It's most likely that Paul never made it to Colossae, that he only heard of the faith of the Colossians through other people, that he was never there personally. But Epaphras, that's the name that had slipped my mind for a second. Epaphras, most likely from the sounds of it, as we read scripture, went to Ephesus and heard of Paul's ministry, went to Ephesus, accepted the Lord as his Savior there, and ministered together with Paul. Philemon also appears to have gone to Ephesus and ministered with Paul there. Because as Paul is writing to him, he says, "To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker." That phrase, fellow worker, is reserved for the people that ministered with Paul. It's not just the people that he knows of that were out ministering. He uses that term to represent the people that were with him, side by side with him, working. And so most likely Philemon had gone to Ephesus and learned of the Lord there, became a Christian, and worked side by side with Paul. Paul knew his heart. Paul knew what he was like. He knew that he had been the type of man who gave great joy and encouragement. He was the man who refreshed the heart of the Lord's people. I believe, just kind of reading and extrapolating from what I've read from what Paul had been in Ephesus for 2 years, Philemon went to hear the gospel, then somehow his slave ended up in Rome with Paul. We know that he ran away from his servitude under Philemon, ended up with Paul. I think that probably Onesimus accompanied Philemon to Ephesus and knew of Paul. But when he goes to Rome, when he escapes his servitude, when he flees from his slave master and goes to Rome, he comes to know the Lord as his Savior. And he's changed. And Paul speaks of Onesimus in amazing terms as he talks about who he is now. Because in the Roman culture, in the laws of the land at that time, it was well within Philemon's right to have had Onesimus captured and killed for running away from his slavery, for escaping. And Paul is writing this letter to plead with Philemon to take Onesimus back. And he says, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent so that any favor you do for me would not be forced but would be voluntary. Paul is saying that Onesimus, who had been a runaway slave, had come to the point where he became his very heart. He had the same love. He had the same drive for the Lord that Paul had. And he's now sending him back. And he's pleading with Philemon to take him back and to receive him. And he goes on to say, receive him no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And so why do I bring this book to you today? Why do I look at this? Because as Paul's concluding his letter to the Colossians, he talks about how you should treat your slaves. But I think it's going far beyond just how you should treat your slaves and how you should be as a master or how you should be as a slave. I think that Paul is saying, in all things, in all relationships, they should be centered in love. Because as we look at Colossians, if we'll turn back to Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As I look out on this body of believers, this group of believers that we call Peninsula Bible Fellowship, I see that kind of love being lived out in your lives. And that's an encouragement to me in my daily walk with our Savior. And I hope that it's an encouragement to you as you look at each other and as you look at me, that the walk that we have with the Lord Jesus is a walk of love. And that love, which binds us all together in perfect unity, should give us the peace of Christ. It should let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Paul's message to the Colossians was, where are you going to put Christ in your life? This is who Christ is. And you're being told that you need to do more, that it needs to be more than just Christ. It needs to be you working hard. It needs to be you sacrificing. It needs to be you living by the law. You are being told this by the other people that are around you, by the Judaizers, by those who would try to subvert who Christ is in your life. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now, live your lives accordingly. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you are called to peace. As we walk our walk with our Savior, it's that peace and it's that love that we should be ministering with, that we should be presenting in our lives. It's that which Paul is saying to the people of Colossae as he writes about what our lives should look like as wives, as husbands, as masters, as slaves. Our lives should be an example of what Christ is in us. It should be lives lived through love for one another. But love for Christ first. Love for God first. Because it's He who created us to walk with each other. He who created us to live in that love relationship with Him. We're not out there by ourselves. We're out there with the love of Christ in us first, walking hand in hand with Him as He leads us. And as Jay sang this morning, he sang of that walk with our Savior. And I loved it. As Jay and I were talking in the back just before he went up to start leading music, he said, I get to go now and sing about Jesus. And it's that love that needs to be emanating out of each of us. As I've talked about in the past, I look at our walk with our Savior a little bit like a sponge under a faucet. That love that fills us from God, just as water fills the sponge, gets soaked up to the point where that sponge can no longer hold it. It has to flow out. And I pray that we will allow the love of God to flow out of us so well that we meet the needs in each other's lives. That we can be the picture of Christ to the world around us. And that we can minister to each other in the love that He's giving us, that we might give it to each other. That we might be the family we need to be for those of us that are in the family of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for the love that You've given us. I thank You for the redemption that we have through the blood of Christ. And I thank You for loving us so much that You gave Your Son for us. Help us to love each other and continue to love each other as best we can in the way You have loved us. that we might be for the world an example of who you are, and for each other we may be you for each other, that we might show the love that you have and help to meet the needs of each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.